Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Recently, you will recall, we noted a very familiar passage of Scripture, Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. Let's observe that once more and see if we can't learn a few things about the importance of what the Lord is actually saying in this passage. Came into the parts of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man is?" They answered and said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." But he asked, "But who say ye that I am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." But let's notice specifically that statement, "I will build my church." What exactly is the Lord referring to? What is he saying here? Now notice that he said, the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, the construction of that which he has here promised. He must go into the Hadean realm. Then the construction of this church, as he refers to it, obviously is contingent upon his death. He had to die in order to bring this to fruition. That's correct. "I will build my church." Now, as we noted, Luke 19, verse 10, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Mankind, alienated from God, was hopelessly undone. And I think we noted, of course, the alienation of man, the particular occurrence that brought that about in Genesis chapter 3. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which Jehovah God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" That's interesting that if he had not known, as well as Mother Eve, what God had said relative to the forbidden fruit, he wouldn't have brought it up. Knew exactly what God had said. You see, Satan will use God's word, if I allow him to deceive me. In fact, he'd rather use the Scripture than any other means for human deception. Tried that on Christ, did he not? You remember Matthew chapter 4, of course, following his baptism. In chapter 3, he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he afterward hungered. Satan came to him and said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." Now, understand, the Lord needed bread worse than any other thing at all. As a matter of fact, if he doesn't eat in a few days, a few hours, actually, he'll die. He's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He must ingest physical sustenance. Needed bread. What did he say? He said, "It is written." What? "Lord, your physical life is on the line." Right. What was more important to the Lord than his physical life? Well, the written, revealed Word of God, of course. Yeah, that's the basis on which he said in Matthew 10, verse 28, "Fear not him who can destroy the body. After that hath the more that he can do. Would rather fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." So it's not what I need physically. It's not what I think from a material standpoint. Rather, what did God say? That's the important thing. He said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." He quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 8 at verse 3. Well, Satan, seeing his fondness for Scripture, took him into the city, placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he hath given his angels charge concerning thee, and on their hands they shall bear thee up, lest haply thou shouldst dash thy foot against a stone." Is that true? Oh, yes. Psalm 91 makes it very, very clear. Oh, yes, he quoted that as accurately as any apostle ever quoted any statement from the Old Testament and the New. Well, then, Lord, I believe I'd show him. What did Jesus say? He said, "It is written again." Deuteronomy 6 at verse 16. What are you telling me, Lord? Friends, one scripture will modify another. Until you have all that God has said on any one subject, you do not have the truth. Psalms 119, verse 160. The sum of thy commandments is truth. Oh, Satan takes a part of it, and many men today build an entire religious system on simply a portion of the scripture. Right. It leads people into eternal ruin. That's deceptive. We must have all that God has said on any one subject, or we do not have the truth. Well, Satan came to Mother Eve in Genesis chapter 3. Yea, if God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Oh, Mother Eve knew what God said. She said, of all the trees we may freely eat. But of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God had said, you shall not eat thereof, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Satan said, thou shalt not surely die. He said the same thing God did. He just put a knot in it. He's been doing the same thing through the centuries. He puts a knot in it. Yes, sir. He knows. God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, the record says when the woman saw that the fruit was good for food, and I'm sure it was the best tasting fruit in the garden. Otherwise, there would have been no temptation. And pleasant to the eye, probably the prettiest fruit in the garden, you say. Oh, and desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit, ate, gave to her husband, he did eat with her. What did John say about Satan's approach to the human family? 1 John, you remember? He said, all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. What's this? 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that's in the world, listen, the lust of the flesh, that food, that tree is good for food. Ooh, lust of the eye, good to look at. Oh, desire to make one wise, the pride of life. Yes, she took of the fruit, ate, gave to her husband, he did eat with her. The eyes of them both were open, they knew they were naked, and they made aprons of fig leaves. And God came walking in the cool of the day in the garden, and they hid themselves among the trees. And you know the story of Genesis chapter 3, sure. God called to the man, where art thou? Has to ask me that once in a while. No, God doesn't need the answer. God knew where Adam was. Adam didn't. Adam thought he was hidden among the trees. Adam, paradise is lost. You're 1,000 miles from God. Alienated. You're going to die physically, whereas with the tree of life in the midst of the garden, you could have lived forever. And then, of course, that familiar promise, and we've noted that time and again. Enmity between the seed of the woman and Satan. He, the seed of the woman, whom we know Jesus Christ, bruised the head of Satan. Fatal blow. Oh, thou, Satan, shall bruise his heel, a minor wound by comparison. How is it that God, the epitome of love and grace and mercy, would have put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden in the first place? Oh, that brings up another point that we alluded to, didn't have time to deal with. We've talked of it many times. God said, let us make man in our image. You remember? He had created the entire earth. And as Isaiah tells us, he created it to be inhabited. Oh, yes. Everything now is in perfection. Then he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, the beasts of the field, over all cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And Jehovah God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Marvelous indeed. God prepared the world for man. He made him the overseer. And man is made in the image and the likeness of God. What is the significance of that statement? Well, we've noted many times that God is a spirit, Jesus said, John 4, verse 24. Now, Jesus also said in verse 39 of Luke chapter 24 that a spirit does not have flesh and bone. Right. We don't look like God. No. How then are we made in his image and likeness? We are immortal spirits, possessed of free moral agency. You remember Deuteronomy 30, verse 19? God said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I place before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore choose. Now he said, choose life that thou mayest live and thy seed, but the choice is yours. The two trees, access to both of them. One life, one death. Your choice. Yeah, but Satan deceived her. Your choice. You don't have to listen to Satan. You don't have to be led around by those who know nothing of God, nothing of the truth. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Acts 17, verse 11, said of the Bereans, same thing today, nobility is shown by giving respect, of course. Oh, but by being sure that we check everything that we hear that is religious in nature. You see, if it isn't written here, it's a lie. No question about that. Didn't John say that? 1 John 2, verses 3 and 4. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith I know him, while he keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. So then I need to order my life by the word of God. Right. What did God say to Adam and Eve? Thou shalt not eat thereof. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And it doesn't matter the source or the strength or power of the temptation. They knew what God said. But there were the two trees. They had to make a choice. Same thing today. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. God's done everything within his power to bring about the salvation of your soul and mine. Let his innocent son die the terrible death of crucifixion. This decision is mine. I have to make it. God has done all that he can do. You see, the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men. Titus 2, verse 11. Now, wonderful. And yet, most men are lost. That passage in Matthew 7, beginning verse 21. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will come unto me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy that his teach in thy name? In thy name cast out demons, in thy name do many mighty works. Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. How could he say that? These people are sincere, dedicated, devoted. Oh, they believe in Christ as the Son of God. They teach in his right. Oh, just read on. In verse 24, he said, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man building his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not, I liken him unto a foolish man building his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. You see, one did what the Lord said do. In the way the Lord said, do it. The other did something else. Now, they may be equally religious. They may be equally devoted. They may be fine people in a moral way. Oh, no question. One's lost and the other is saved. How could that be? Oh, only the truth will make you free. John 8, verse 32. And we've noted many times, John 17, verse 17, sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth. Friends, it is imperative that we do what God said. Adam and Eve failed to do that. Paradise was lost. Now, that's why Christ came into the world, to restore paradise. No, no, not a garden. Not some geographical location. Within the heart of each individual who will comply with the instruction contained in his blood-sealed covenant. That's why Jesus came into this old world. Oh, and you remember there were numerous prophecies made relative to what the Lord promised to build here in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 16. That familiar passage in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. Oh, it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Jehovah's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, shall be exalted above the hills. All nations shall flow unto it. Many people shall go and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the God of Jacob. He'll teach us of his ways, and we'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. He'll judge between the nations, will decide concerning many peoples. They'll beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. What is he talking about? The house of God. What is the house of God? 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Paul said that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So it's the subject of Old Testament prophecy. Why, certainly. Christ came to bruise the head of Satan. That is, to provide a means through which fallen humanity could come again to a proper relationship with his Maker. Oh, I remember that Daniel interpreted a dream for Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel chapter 2. You remember, we don't have time for the whole thing, but he stood before Nebuchadnezzar and he said, in thy dream you saw a great image. Aspect thereof was terrible, the brightness thereof excellent. Had a head of fine gold, chest and arms of silver, belly and thighs of brass, its legs were of iron, its feet part iron and part miry clay. Thou sawest until a stone was hewn out of the mountain without hands, came and smote the image in its feet, so that the clay, the brass, the iron, the silver, and the gold were broken in pieces, became as chaff on the summer threshing floor, which the wind driveth away. Ah, yes. Now he said that stone grew, became a great mountain, and filled the earth. Now he said, that's your dream, O king. Oh, but he said, here is the interpretation. Thou art the head of fine gold, the first and the greatest of the world ruling empires, the Babylonian. After thee there shall arise a kingdom inferior to thee, as silver is inferior to gold, the Medo-Persian Empire, the sacred historian tells us. Following this, a third, represented by the belly and thighs of brass, of course, the Grecian Empire, Alexander the Great, very briefly, and then it was divided into four different sections. Oh, and then there would be a fourth world ruling empire, represented by the legs of iron, have within it the strength of iron that breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. But thou sawest the toes mingled with miry clay. That kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to the other. Now listen, verse 44, Daniel chapter 2. In the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Neither shall the sovereignty thereof be left unto another people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all these nations, and it shall stand forever and forever. Forasmuch as thou sawest the stone hewn out of the mountain without hands that came and smote the image in its feet, etc. Wait a minute. What is Daniel talking about? He has under consideration that which the Lord is talking about in our text. Upon this rock I will build my church, verse 18. Oh, and I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. The church is the house, household, yea, family of God. Oh, indeed. Oh, and it is a monarchy. It is a kingdom. That's correct. So Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Right. When man reaches the age of accountability, he's alienated from God. You see, therefore, through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. So death passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 5, verse 12. No, no, as I've often said and have to repeat, we don't receive the Adamic guilt. Adam sinned, Adam's guilty, Adam will give account. Each one of us will give account of himself unto God in the day of judgment. Romans 14, verse 12. Nonetheless, mankind is alienated from God. What is the only possibility of my reconciliation to God? Well, Jesus said, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that's why Jesus came into the world, to make possible that which otherwise was impossible, right? Man is in an alienated, fallen estate. He is lost, without God and without hope. And now what Paul said, Ephesians 2, verse 12, you were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Friend, that's where the entire human family was until Christ came on the scene. Oh, but somebody says now, God gave a law to ancient Israel through Moses. Oh, that's correct. The Old Testament. It's a type, a system of types and shadows and prophecies, of which Christ is the antitype, the substance, and the fulfillment. Yes, but preacher, God gave a law in there, and those people had their sins removed. They were, no. Impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin, Hebrews 10:4. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Romans 3, verse 20. Galatians 2, verse 16. No sin was forgiven by law. It's out of the question. Law is not given to provide forgiveness. No, law is given to condemn the infraction of its content. That's the purpose of law. Well, preacher, the high priest, once in the year under the law of Moses, went into the most holy place with the blood of animals to make atonement for himself and for the people. That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, and do you remember the Hebrew writer said, and their sins were remembered year by year. They weren't forgiven. They were, well, when were their sins forgiven? Those who were faithful under the law of Moses. Oh, Hebrews 9, verse 15. He is the mediator of a better covenant, that a death having taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first covenant, they that have been called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Friends, from the transgression of Adam until the end of time, the only remedy for sin is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. How do I contact the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, now, where a testament is, there must of necessity be the death of him that made it. For a testament is a force where there hath been death, for it doth never avail while he that made it liveth, Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. So to be recipient of the benefits of the shed blood of Christ, I must hear the instruction contained in the blood-sealed covenant of God's Son. Now, we've learned many times, as Jesus said, John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to it. It's out of the question. Oh, but the believer, then, must repent. Peter preached the gospel, Acts chapter 2, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, coronation of Jesus Christ on David's throne at God's right hand, reigning over spiritual Israel. His Jewish auditors were cut to the heart. They said in verse 37, brethren, what shall we do? Peter said to these believers, repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's for, Greek preposition, eis, not used in retrospect, always looks forward. Thus the American Standard says, unto the remission of your sins. Well, wait a minute. We hear about Jesus Christ, right? Faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's true. And I want to be like him who died to redeem my soul. Repentance is easily taught, more difficult to accomplish, but it has to do with an about face. I'm going to live my life on a spiritual plane. I'm going to live my life in harmony with the Lord's Word. I'm going to turn away from the practice of sin and error. I want to be like him who died to redeem me. That's repentance. Then I'll confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, Romans 10, 9 and 10, as the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, verse 37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I then am baptized. That's for the remission of my sins, Acts 2, 38. To be saved, Mark 16, 16. To wash away my sins, Acts 22, 16. That puts me into Jesus Christ, Galatians 3, verse 27, where salvation is enjoyed, 2 Timothy 2, at verse 10. Oh, then what is done with those who follow this instruction? Oh, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and there were added unto them at that day about 3,000 souls, Acts 2, verse 41. Oh, verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. What did the Lord promise to build? Matthew 16, verse 18, his church. The community of the redeemed, two classes of responsible people in the world today, the lost and the saved. That's the world and the church. Give it consideration, friends. Read His Word every day. Friends, the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, both of joints and marrow, is quick to discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Hebrews chapter 4, at verse 12. Let me encourage you to read it. Now, we talk of certain things, and we deal with various subjects, and we can only say a very little. Yet, if you are willing to examine what you hear, check into God's Word. Wherever He may mention the subject, be sure you understand that all that He said about it. Paul talked about rightly dividing the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2 at verse 15. So let me encourage you to check out what I say or what any other person may teach, religious in nature, because so many people are deceived today, and they join this or belong to that, and basically good people, very sincere, deeply religious, but only the truth will make you free. Jesus said, I'm going to call men out of the lost state into the saved state. Called out, a Greek term, ekklesia, or translated church. The church is made up of those who are redeemed, cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. May God bless.